It's good to be back at Mountain View. I love, appreciate you people from Mountain View Church. Appreciate those that's here with us. Some from home tonight. Glad to have you. Several was asking about our family last night. I thought maybe I should say something about that. They're all over the place. Some's in Bible school this week. Some's at all singing. And some's at Bible camp. So they're all over the place. Maybe some of them get to come Friday night. But they're out trying to do something for Christ. That makes me feel good. And it's just good to be back. I appreciate everything you've done for us so far to help us. And appreciate really most of all what you've done as far as praying for us, getting behind us the way that you have last night. It really helped me. I needed it, and I'm thankful for that help. I'm going to be reading tonight out of two different places. And if you'd like to turn and read with me, I'd love for you to. The 36th chapter of the prophet Ezekiel. 36th chapter of the prophet Ezekiel. And then I'd like to read a few verses from the New Testament. The book of Romans, chapter number 8. So again, that's Ezekiel 36 and Romans chapter number 8. You know, when I come here Sunday night after the meeting, it seemed like the Lord just absolutely wiped my heart and my mind clean. Anything and everything that I thought I might stand on or might preach on, it just left. He just wiped it slap clean. And you know what? To me, that's a good thing. He let me know today that that was the way he wanted it to be. And so if you think that I've come this way with everything laid out for you, you're very wrong about that. I'm just trusting in the Lord the best that I know how, and I'm trying my very best, Randy, just to preach what the Lord wants preached. And so I appreciate the Lord for that, but I do need your prayers tonight. I guess there's a whole lot more I could say, but I'll just get into the text. Got a lot of reading to do that I feel like we'll probably do. So turn with us. Ezekiel chapter 36. And we'll begin in verse number 15. And I know this kind of seems like just jumping right into the middle of this text, but this is where we feel like starting. Ezekiel 36 and verse number 15. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of people any more. Neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall any more, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. according to the way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. And if there's any doubt when and where and how that was going to take place, then listen to these next few verses. Then, that's the same time, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 18. Romans 8, verse number 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Now listen to this verse. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the Son of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them also he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us? Now listen to these verses. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's all we feel like reading tonight. And I need your prayers here for just a little bit. Took me a while last night to give you my thought, but tonight I'm going to give you my thought right off the top of the bat. And that is, tonight I want to preach, Lord being my helper, on the return from exile. The return, a return from exile. You might say, preacher, I'm not sure that I know what exile even means. Well, I'm going to give you the definition of exile. Exile is when someone is forced or barred from their own native land. That's what it means. When someone is barred, pushed out, cast out of their own native land. And tonight, my friend, you may not realize it tonight, my friend, but each and every single one of us tonight at one time in our life, and maybe some of you here tonight, we were in exile. We were in exile. My friend, you might say, preacher, I never thought a whole lot about it. Maybe not tonight. But I guarantee you, most of us has probably sung the old song that's entitled The Haven of Rest. You ever heard that old song, The Haven of Rest? And the very first verse of that song goes a little something like this. It says, my soul in sad exile was out on life's stormy sea. Amen. That's a pretty good start to a song. And my friend, because the truth of the matter is,
and my soul was once in a sad, sad state of exile. And yes, it was. And my friend, you say, preacher, and where was your home country? And my friend, it was meant to be with God. And yes, sir, He created man, didn't He? In the very beginning, in His own image, and in His very own likeness. And formed him out of the dust of the earth, and breathed into his nostrils, and the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And my friend, as I understand the scriptures, and there was a time in the beginning when God walked with man in the cool of the day. And my friend, and listen, and they didn't walk among the clouds, and my friend, they walked together in the garden, and yes, they did, and my friend, in the garden, praise God, and my friend, man had fellowship with his Creator, and my friend, listen, I'm not going to drag and through this, but I think you all know the story, and my friend, of what happened in the garden. And my friend, when sin came into the picture, and my friend, listen, it defiled that temple. And yes, sir, it absolutely defiled it. And my friend, you want to know what happened? And my friend, Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden. And yes, they were. In other words, they were cast out into exile. And yes, they were. And Brother Bruce, I'm glad though. And my friend, not only did he exile Adam, and my friend, he put at the gate and the entrance of the Garden of Eden, and Brother Cody, a cherubim and a flaming sword, and to keep the way of the tree of life. Amen. I'll get back to that in a little while. And my friend, but listen, and God had a plan. Yes, He did. And you know, the New Testament tells me, and that Jesus Christ came to preach the gospel. And but it wasn't just the gospel. He said it is the gospel according to the scripture. And when he said according to the scriptures, what he meant was, and God already had a preordained plan in the scriptures. And my friend, you know what it was about? And my friend, it was a plan. And my friend, I'll go a little further. It wasn't just a plan, it was a way. A way for the exiles to come back home. Amen. I'm glad. If you're here tonight and you're in exile, you can come home tonight. And yes, you can. Jesus has left the light on for you. And yes, He has. And my friend, you say, preacher, and is that the end of the exile? And that's just one of several. And yes, it was, because after God drove the man out of the garden and placed the cherubim, and my friend, he went out, and my friend, among the world, and you got Abraham and Isaac and Jacob all the way down to Moses. And you know what God began to do? He began to teach mankind about the horrors of being separated from God. Amen. I don't know how you read the book of Genesis, but when I read it, I see a downward spiral. Yeah. Mankind was in a downward spiral. And my friend, the stories of Abraham and then Jacob and Isaac, and they have some tragedy involved in them, some death involved in them, and brother, pain and heartbreak. Oh, I mean, it's an absolute tragedy. And my friend, but listen, God was showing man what it is and what it will always be like to find yourself separated from God. And my friend, listen to me. And my friend, and you say, preacher, and there wasn't no such a thing in there. And my friend, you go over and begin to read. And my friend, it spiraled downward until finally, and God's people ended up down in Egypt land. And yeah, down there in Egypt's land. And my friend, like things were all right for a little while. But then there arose a new Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And my friend, the scripture said, and that he dealt subtly with them. And just like Satan had done in the garden, he dealt subtly with them. And my friend, listen, and he set taskmasters over them. He enslaved them, Earl. And my friend caused them to go down and to work in the brick pit. And my friend, in the slime and the mud, building treasure cities for Pharaoh. And my friend, listen, and they got to a point after 400 years of bondage, bitter bondage, and praise the Lord, and they began to cry out. Amen. And they began to cry. And thank God, thank God. And the Lord called Moses, didn't he? And he said, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt and bring my people out of the house of bondage. I've got a land for them. And it's a good land. A land and flowing with milk and honey. And my friend, and just as God had promised, and he led them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Amen. And my friend, they left there. And my friend, they journeyed 440 years in the wilderness. And I'm going to have to just run on. I can't preach it all. But they finally crossed over into God's promised land. And yes, sir. Oh, but God gave them His law. And my friend, through Moses, he was the initiator of the law. And my friend, listen, and the law said, you must keep my commandments and my ordinances and my statutes. But what did he say? He said, if you will not hearken unto my voice and to keep my commandments, this land will spew you out. Amen. it will spew you out. He said in Leviticus, he said, for it is a land that speweth out the inhabitants thereof. It has spewed out the Canaanite. It has spewed out the Amorite. It has spewed out the Jebusite. And my friend, he told them, if you don't think God will cast you out, you got another thing coming. Because you ain't going to dwell in my land when you ain't doing the things I command you to do. And my friend, you say, preacher, what happened to them? And my friend, well, and the first thing happened to them, and my friend, they split up. And they split up. And the kingdom was divided. And the other 10 tribes of the north, I was talking about them last night. You remember them Samaritans? And my friend, they was two tribes in the south called Judah. And they split up. And my friend, but listen, it got worse. After they split up, and my friend, the 10 northern tribes, Ephraim, Manasseh, and brother, they began to become rebellious and worship the gods of the heathen. And my friend, to the place where God said, I bring the Assyrians here, and they're going to carry you away. He told Hosea to prophesy against Israel, didn't he? And he told them, he said, I'm going to sow you as seed in the earth. And yes, sir. And my friend, what did God do? And my friend, he sowed them among the heathen. Amen. And the glory to God. And thank God, I'm glad he didn't forget about the seed he sowed. I come for the lost sheep, didn't he say? And the house of Israel. And my friend, listen, Israel was lost. And they were lost. And my friend, but I'll tell you what. Whoa! Before they ever even came into the land, they was lost. They wandered in the wilderness 40 years. You think they didn't lose heart? Some of them said, Moses, turn back. We can't make it. And praise God, they died in the wilderness. Died in exile. Died in exile. And my friend, listen. And now he scattered them among the Assyrians. And my friend, and listen, it went beyond just the Assyrians. And my friend, God began to send more prophets out to warn Judah. And he said to Judah, you better learn the lesson of your sister. And yes, sir, you better learn from the lesson that I just got through teaching your sister. Hey, listen to me now. I'm preaching tonight about returning from exile. And listen to me. And Judah didn't hear. And they didn't learn the lesson, Jeff. And my friend, therefore, and the Lord said, I'm going to bring Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. I'm going to bring the Chaldeans down. And my friend, you know what happened after that, don't you? And they went into exile 70 years down in the land of Babylon. And yes, sir. And they were there 70 years. And my friend, but listen, they didn't die. And no, they didn't. And you say, preacher, why did God do that to them? And my friend, well, I can tell you this. And they were meant to remember something. And yes, sir. You ever read a book and saw yourself in the book? Well, they read the book of Genesis. And you know what they said? They said, here we are, just like Adam, cast out of the land. And yeah, that's that's what they got out of it. And my friend, but glory to God, God still had a plan. And he still had a way. And I bring them home one day. And listen to me. And the scripture said, when they was in Babylon, and that the heathen came to them, didn't it? And they had their hearts hung on the willow tree. And they required mirth. Said, sing us! And one of them old songs of Zion. And you know what they said? And they said, how can we sing the Lord's song here in this strange land? Amen. And you know what? Tonight I'll just go ahead and tell you this. I'm glad I still got a song. Amen. And you say, preacher, I don't know how in the world. And we're living in a strange land. I beg your pardon. They're living in a strange land. I ain't in exile, Earl. And no, don't let the sinners tell you that you're in exile. You say, preacher, hadn't you been listening to the news? It's horrible. It's sad. It's pitiful. I agree with you. But praise God, that's just the world doing what the world's always done. I ain't in exile. I ain't in that land. I'm in the good land. They're the ones outside. Thank God he brought me home. I hope that changes your perspective. I really do. You can't tell a lot of people that. But praise the Lord, I believe it with all my heart. You can live in exile if you want to. But thank God I'm in the good land. Hey, there's a little milk and honey here. Amen. Amen. I feel pretty good tonight, don't you? If you don't, praise God, why don't you come out of exile and come home to Jesus tonight? They wanted to get back home. They wanted to get back home. Oh, and I'm sure a lot of them worried. Oh, whoa, we're going to die here. But listen, God done some things while they were there. I ain't got time to get into all of it. He brought one of their old kings out of jail. And not only that, he sent a man named Ezekiel down there. Yes, sir. I like Ezekiel. I don't understand a lot of his prophecy, but I know enough to know what he was talking about. Yes, sir. Brother, everybody gets all tore up about the wheel and the wheel. And the wheel and the wheel. What was the wheel and the wheel? Well, I don't know altogether what you think about it, but I can tell you this. Back in the ancient times, in the ancient world, when kings would go out to battle, my friend, the king would go out there with his army. Yes, he would. He didn't just stay home, unless you like old backsliding David. But most of them went out to battle. And brother, listen, it wasn't no different. And my friend, with the armies that Ezekiel had saw. And my friend, but listen, when a king went out into the battle, he went on what they called a battle throne. You know what a battle throne is? Well, it's a throne on wheels. Yep, that's what it is. It's a throne on wheels. Yeah, y'all seen them movies on TV, hadn't you? And they rolled them out there. And even on the battlefield, they still sitting on the throne. Amen. You know what Ezekiel saw when he's down there in Babylon by the river Chebar? He learned something. He learned God. God wasn't just God back in Jerusalem or in Samaria. God was God in Babylon too. Yes, sir. I'll tell you what, anywhere's home if Christ my Lord is there. Amen. God didn't hang around with Jeremiah. Well, he was with Jeremiah back in Jerusalem. Matter of fact, Jeremiah in his prophecy said, about the same time Ezekiel was prophesied, Jeremiah said, I got caught up in the Spirit and I was in Jerusalem. Amen. Ezekiel said, the Spirit of God caught me up. And I went to Jerusalem. And he saw some bad things, didn't he? But that ain't the point. The point is, thank God he's kind of like old Jonah when he was in the belly of the whale. Where was he at, by the way? He was in exile. Yeah, God exiled him into the belly of a fish. If you don't believe it, you read his testimony. He said, I was down at the bottom of hell. Amen. Let me tell you something tonight. If you don't know what being exiled is really all about, I'm here to tell you right now what it's all about. Being exiled is to be separated from God. And to be separated from God is death. When the prodigal son went off and sojourned with a stranger, he was in exile. Yes. And thank God when he finally came back home, you know what the father said? He said, this my son was lost. Yes. Now he's found. Yes. That ain't all. He said he was dead. And he is alive again. Amen. You know how I got resurrected? Thank God when I came out of exile and I came into Christ. You, preacher, you surely you don't mean to say that Jesus is the good land? Oh, yes, I do. He's the good land. Amen. I thought about the time when old... I told you God was teaching them some things, didn't I? I thought about when Naomi left Bethlehem, Judah. Yeah, preacher, she just needing food. Yeah, she was. But praise God, there wasn't no bread in Bethlehem, was there? And she went and dwelled in the country of Moab. And down there in Moab, things didn't go so well. But I'm glad one day, when all hope was lost, she said, I'm going back home. Amen. Amen. And when she got back home, things didn't look too much better. And they came out to greet her and her little daughter-in-law, Ruth, and said, is this Naomi? It don't look like Naomi. She said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty God has dealt very bitterly with me. And praise God, but listen, I'm glad God had grace and God had mercy and God had compassion and made a husband for her daughter-in-law. Brought forth a child to continue the seed. And praise God, what did Naomi say? She said, I was as good as dead. But thank God, this child that's given to me shall be a restorer of my life. Amen. That's resurrection right there. Amen. I don't care how you cut it, how you slice it, and how you dice it. And my friend, God wants to bring you out of exile tonight. He's done it for many. Amen. Even Jesus Christ came to this world, and the first thing they wanted to do was kill him. He's just a little old baby boy. And Herod wanted to kill him, destroy the child as soon as he was born. Amen. You know what happened? Angel of the Lord came to Joseph by night in a dream and said, rise up and take the young child and his mother, and I want you to go down to Egypt. Amen. You know why that happened? That it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt have I called my son. Amen. Ain't you glad God calls people out of Egypt? Ain't you glad God calls people out of bondage? Ain't you glad God delivers people out of exile and brings them back and plants them in their own land again?
Amen.
Every time Israel would come out of bondage, you know what they'd do? They'd dig up their little fig tree. I don't know about y'all, but I always identify them old Israelites with Christians. We're different. We're worlds apart. But then again, maybe we're not. Paul was a Jew, wasn't he? Yes, sir, he would. Everybody keeps saying, well, God's got to fulfill his promises to Israel. And Paul said, am I not an Israelite? Hello? Am I not a Jew? Amen. He said, I have continual sorrow in my heart for my brethren. Yeah, Jews according to the flesh. But thank God, I'm glad the scripture said he came to his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. He was one of them. Amen. They're just like us. They want to take their little fig tree. They love their land. And they love their trees and their vineyards and their children and their wives. And they were just, all they ever wanted was a family. You know what the Bible is? It's a story about a family. It's a story about a family trying to build a home. Preacher, that's just too simple. Go back and read the book now. It's the story of a little family who just wanted a home place. And they kept looking. Abraham go dig him a well. And there come the Philistines. And they covered up. They didn't want them to have a home. The enemy don't want you to have a home either. He loved to keep you flittering and fluttering like that little raven that Noah let out of that ark. Just wander to and fro. Exile. But I'm glad he sent the dove out and it came with an olive branch picked off. And thank God, you know what it did? It found a nest.
Yeah, man.
It found a home. That's what a bird does. They like to make homes. I got a birdhouse Earl built me back in the fall. I got that thing on a pole fast as I could because I love birds. And I got a little bluebird family. Amen. I got a little bluebird family. I even got one on my front porch. They built them a little nest up there above the columns. And I told my kid, don't you mess with that bird. Don't you bother their nest. You let them live there, and let them stay there, and praise God, it's rent free. Amen. Praise God, under the law, amen, it was lent to them. They had to give sacrifices and offerings. They had to do things, special stipulations, in order to stay in the land, or God would boot them out. And he's a good landlord too. But praise God, in the day of grace, thank God I'm living here free of charge. I ain't a squatter neither. Don't call me a squatter. I ain't no squatter. There's a lot of church people squatting today. And yes, they are. But praise God, ain't it about time you quit squatting and get you a room in the mansion of your own? You want a mansion? You got one. Start living in it. Oh, I'm glad they was down there in Babylon and God brought them out. Yeah, he raised up a king, didn't he? You know, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah called him the anointed. His name was Cyrus. Cyrus the Persian. I don't know what made him do it other than God's almighty hand. You know what God said? You're going to let these people go. They didn't have to fight. They didn't have to raise no ruckus. Cyrus just said, we're going to let them go. You know what the last thing he told the representatives before he let them go? He said, when you get down there to Jerusalem and you rebuild your temple and the house of your God, pray for the king. Pray for the king. Hey man, I'm still praying for the king. Yeah. Thank God. They can enjoy their riches. They can enjoy their land. Well, bless God, I'm enjoying mine too. They asked Jesus, should we pay taxes? Jesus said, who's the inscription on that coin? And they said, why, it's Caesar, of course. And he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but render unto God the things that are God's. Amen. And Jesus said to Pilate, Pontius Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this world, Pilate. Thank God I came to this world to bear witness of the truth, and everyone that hears my voice hears the truth. Amen. Well. Cyrus let them go, and they went back to Jerusalem, and they rebuilt the house of God. Yeah, then prophecy started coming down. One of these days, I'm going to regather you back. I'm going to go get you from every country and every nation God ever scattered you from. I'm coming to get you, and I'm going to bring you back home. Amen. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse number 6 says, and yea, I will hiss for them. In other words, I'm going to whistle. Come on home, children. Come on home. Amen. Preacher, that has yet to happen. My friend, listen. He did whistle for them. And he didn't just whistle. He came and preached the gospel to them, calling them home. And brother, do you read the book of 1 Peter? Read chapter 1. Tell me what that first verse says. First verse or 2 says. It says, to the elect, to the strangers scattered abroad throughout Pontius, Galatia, Bithynia. Whoa! That's the seven churches of Asia, by the way. He wrote unto the strangers and the pilgrims and the sojourners. And what did he tell them? Praise God! He said, hear and obey the gospel and come on home. Now, you might be wondering what Romans 8's all about. But I'm going to tell you what it's all about. It was about how God was going to bring those that were in bondage back to Himself, delivering them from the bondage of corruption. Jesus spoke to the religious leaders of His day when they said to Christ, I'm about done. They spake to Christ and they said, we are children of Abraham and we have never been in bondage to no man. I don't know how they could say that. You heard what I preached to you. They're in bondage their entire history. Now, they could have been saying, well, we have never been in bondage. I got another sad one for you. You ever notice how every time they was in exile, they wept? Tears fell from their eyes. You know what happened when God brought me back to home? He wiped the tears away. It ain't just talking about this. It's talking about the tears that come, whoa, when they were down there in Egypt groaning by reason of their taskmasters. And God said, I know their reason. I know their groaning. I know their sorrows. Neither shall there be any more sorrow, neither crying nor pain. For the former things are passed away. Now listen, stay with me just a minute. I know I've already preached a little longer than I wanted to, but I can't stop now. I'm almost home. But listen, when they said we've never been in bondage to no man, they obviously didn't realize the mess they were in. You know what the saddest part about all of Israel's history? It's right there at the very end. They were under house arrest. You hear me? They were in bondage, slaves in their own land. Were they not? Landon, you know, they had Roman garrisons everywhere. Taxes, cruel taxes, every moment had to be paid. Not only that, they had their own king, so-called Herod, that was just as bad as the emperor. They were slaves in their own land. And I'm going to tell you something, that's about as bad as it gets. Solomon said it's better to dwell in the roof of a house than dwell in a house where there ain't no peace. There wasn't no peace in the house. What good is it being in your homeland when you can't have your own house, you can't have your own money? You might have your daughter took from you. Everything they had was in jeopardy. Everything they had was in peril. My friend, listen, they were still weeping among the willows. But thank God, I'm glad Jesus Christ came one day and said, "Come and follow me. I'm going to take you to the promised land." And the most wonderful thing about this whole thing, here they are. Now you know the story now, don't you? You know the backstory. You know why God was going to come and bring them home. You know why? Because they've been in exile. All down way back to Adam, they've been in exile. In exile. In exile. God bring them out and they go right back into exile. God bring them out, they go right back into exile. Why, goodness gracious, you ever read the book of Judges? God sent a judge and delivered them. They did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God delivered them right back into the hand of their enemies. Over and over and over, the cycle kept going on. But thank God, one day a man came to break the cycle.
Amen.
I'd love to see somebody break the cycle tonight. Ain't you tired of living in exile? Ain't you tired of getting in and out of church house? I'm glad you're in church house tonight, but listen, ain't you sick and tired of coming to church and then you can't stay? I gotta go. And your poor old wife and your loved ones is bearing you on their heart. And it's killing them. I know people that love their mama and they love their dad and they can't even go to church on Mother's Day. I told a boy one time, I said, could you not just go for your mama? And they're so hard-hearted, he looked at me like, well, of course I can't. That's sad, Landon. That's how lost some people are.
Amen.
You remember them people, that four men that let down the man that was paralyzed through the roof of the house right into the lap of Jesus? That's how they are with you, just carrying you with everything they got, trying their best to get you to Jesus, and you just lay there.
Amen.
Ain't you tired of that? Exile ain't no way to live. Ain't no way to live your life, in and out, up and down. They were scattered all over the creation. You don't believe it? Read Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost. It said that day on Pentecost there was gathered together at Jerusalem Jews. From every nation under heaven.
Amen.
Obviously, there wasn't Jews in South America or in Canada. But in the Roman world, they were scattered all over creation.
Amen.
The creation. But here's the best news they ever got. I don't know if you know about the American pioneers, but when they came here, they went out west. When they first got here, they had to settle wilderness, cross rivers.
Yeah.
You ever had to drive? Could you imagine driving to California with no bridges, no roads, no pavement, no store, no nothing? That's a hard way to get back home. But you know what Paul said in Romans 8? He said, God has come to bring you out of bondage, out of exile, and give you the glorious liberty of the children of God. And he said, I got good news for you if you're worried about how to get back home. There ain't no river wide enough. And there ain't no mountain tall enough. Amen. There ain't no hardship hard enough. And there ain't no difficulty bad enough. Thank God, not a life, not death, nor principalities, and they had a lot of them, and nor powers, nor anything can separate you from me. Come on home. Nothing's going to get in your way this time. Nothing's going to get in your way this time. This is a story. The Bible is a story of people trying to get back home. And they met obstacles, rivers they couldn't cross, mountains they could not climb. But thank God when Jesus came, He said, listen, nothing, and I mean nothing, can keep you from me. Nothing can keep you from me. Now, if you don't believe that story, I'll tell you this. It don't matter where I wake up tomorrow. It don't matter where they take me tomorrow. It don't matter where they send me tomorrow. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, amen, which is in Christ Jesus. Ain't that good?
Amen.
You know what that means? That means God has brought me home. He's drove down the tent peg. He's put me in the house of the Lord. He has established His temple. And thank God, nothing can pluck me out.
Amen.
That's what God wants to do for you. Randy, come on. That's the message tonight. Church, you pray. And we'll ask Him to get a verse of some song. And if you're here tonight and you're wandering in sad exile, I would implore you to come home. Come home tonight. The way has been made. Nothing can separate you from Him. Just come tonight. Just come. As we stand and sing.